It was called Happy Time Pizza, and it was a replica of a small, family-run pizza joint that had existed in Halliday's hometown in the mid-1980s. Halliday appeared to have copied the code for Happy Time Pizza from his Middletown simulation and hidden a duplicate of it here in the Arcade Museum. What the hell was it doing here? I'd never seen its existence mentioned on any of the Gunter message boards or strategy guides. Was it possible no one had ever spotted it before now? Halliday mentioned Happy Time Pizza several times in the almanac, so I knew he had fond memories of this place. He'd often come here after school to avoid going home. The interior recreated the atmosphere of a classic 80s pizza parlor and video arcade in loving detail. Several NPC employees stood behind the counter, tossing dough and slicing pies. I turned on my olfactrix tower and discovered that I could actually smell the tomato sauce. The shop was divided into two halves, the game room and the dining room. The dining room had video games in it as well. All of the glass-top tables were actually sit-down arcade games known as cocktail cabinets. You could sit and play Donkey Kong on the table while you ate your pizza. If I'd been hungry, I could have ordered a real slice of pizza at the counter. The order would have been forwarded to a pizza vendor near my apartment complex, the one I'd specified in my Oasis account's food service preference settings. Then a slice would have been delivered to my door in a matter of minutes, and the cost, including tip, would have been deducted from my Oasis account balance. As I walked into the game room, I heard a Bryan Adams song blasting out of the speakers mounted on the carpeted walls. Bryan was singing about how, everywhere he went, the kids wanted to rock. I pressed my thumb to a plate on the change machine and bought a single quarter. I scooped it out of the stainless steel tray and headed to the back of the game room, taking in all of the simulation's little details. I spotted a handwritten note taped to the marquee of a Defender game. It read, "Beat the owner's high score and win a free large pizza." A Robotron game was currently displaying its high score list. Robotron allowed its all-time best player to enter an entire sentence of text beside their score instead of just their initials, and this machine's top dog had used his precious victory space to announce that Vice Principal Rundberg is a total douchebag. I continued farther into the dark electronic cave and walked up to a Pac-Man machine in the very back of the room, wedged between a Galaga and a Dig Dug. The black and yellow cabinet was covered with chips and scratches, and the garish side art was peeling. The Pac-Man game's monitor was dark, and there was an out-of-order sign taped to it. Why would Halliday include a broken game in this simulation? Was this just another atmospheric detail? Intrigued, I decided to investigate further. I pulled the game cabinet out from the wall and saw that the power cord was unplugged. I plugged it back into the wall socket and waited for the game to boot up. It seemed to work fine. As I was shoving the cabinet back into place, I spotted something. At the top of the game, resting on the metal brace that held the glass marquee in place, was a single quarter. The date on the coin was 1981, the year Pac-Man had been released. I knew that back in the 80s, placing your quarter on a game's marquee was how you reserved the next turn on the machine. But when I tried to remove the quarter, it wouldn't budge, like it was welded in place. Weird. I slapped the out-of-order sign on the neighboring Galaga cabinet and looked at the startup screen, which was listing off the game's villainous ghosts, Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. The high score at the top of the screen was 3,333,350 points. Several things were strange about this. In the real world, Pac-Man machines didn't save their high score if they were unplugged, and the high score counter was supposed to flip over at 1 million points. but this machine displayed a high score of 3,333,350 points, just 10 points shy of the highest Pac-Man score possible. The only way to beat that score would be to play a perfect game. I felt my pulse quicken. I'd uncovered something here. Some sort of Easter egg hidden inside this old coin-op video game. It wasn't the Easter egg, just an Easter egg, some sort of challenge or puzzle, one I was almost certain had been created and placed here by Halliday. I didn't know if it had anything to do with the Jade Key. It might not be related to the egg at all. But there was only one way to find out. I would have to play a perfect game of Pac-Man. This was no easy feat. You had to play all 256 levels perfectly, all the way up to the final split screen. And you had to eat every single dot, energizer, fruit, and ghost possible along the way, without ever losing a single life. Less than 20 perfect games had been documented in the game's 60-year history. One of them, the fastest perfect game ever played, had been accomplished by James Halliday in just under 4 hours. He'd done it on an original Pac-Man machine located in the Gregarious Games break room. Because I knew Halliday loved the game, I'd already done a fair amount of research on Pac-Man, but I'd never managed to play a perfect game. Of course, I'd never really made a serious attempt. Up until now, I'd never had a reason to.